Hey everybody, your Dungeon Master Bobby Shortle here, coming to you before the episode starts, because I just want to go over a couple of things. You'll notice probably in your podcast player that this episode is shorter than our usual. I promise you, when the episode ends, you'll be very clear on why that is. I don't want you guys to feel like you're getting a short shrift or anything. Next episode we have planned is going to be a supersized one. It kind of ends this Tree of Vision arc. It's the final encounter that ends it. There just wasn't really a good narrative place to break that other episode up, so this episode is shorter. That also means you're not going to get a intermission here with Justin talking because the episode is short. So normally where we break up the episode for an intermission is where the episode ends. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at D&D Adventure. Make sure you subscribe, review, share the podcast as much as possible. You guys have been great about doing that. Let's keep growing it, keep making it great. Follow Justin on Twitter at JD Riley. He's an amazing sound person. He's brought us to the next level for so many years. It's been amazing. He uses Battle Bards and Tabletop Audio to help him. So with that all the way, let's get into the episode. Let's go to our previously on, and I hope you enjoy this episode. It was a lot of fun to put together, and we will see you in a couple weeks with the supersized ending to the Tree of Vision. And then we are very close to ending Jackie's campaign and on to the next season. But enough of me blabbering on. Let's get to it.
Previously on Adventure.
Our adventure began when our character Thrace was sucked through a portal whilst enjoying a post-season 2 cocktail in a Neverwinter bar with her fellow adventurers, Rogue Hendley, Wizard Julian, and Halfling Redfield. Her friends soon met the acquaintance of a human named Samuel, who informed them that Thrace was not the only Dragonborn to have met this fate. Her family in the Dragonborn Kingdom were also in danger. Our band of friends travelled to the kingdom, which was in a state of disarray, having been invaded by an army of grey dragons and whites led by a dragonborn named Auric. Upon making the acquaintance of said dragonborn, he promptly cast them down to Shadowfell, a hellish dimension below the normal planes of existence. In Shadowfell, they picked up a travelling companion by the name of Balak Brightwood, a young druid who has been searching for his parents, and his companion Soft Furnishing, a slightly homicidal rug they named Teprak. Whilst in the Shadowfell, they found their friend Thrace, along with her whole family. They were also told by Samuel that Auric was no regular usurper, but he was in fact the illegitimate son of Balthazar the King, and therefore half-brother to Thrace. As a child, he had been cast down to the Shadowfell by Samuel under the orders of the king, and now he was back to claim what he felt was rightfully his. Samuel tells them that in order to save the royal family, they will either have to convince Auric to reopen the portal, or they will have to rip his heart from his chest, which will give Samuel the power to be able to open it from below. Once they escaped Shadowfell, they immediately happened upon a druid village, which they saved from an approaching horde of whites. After being shitty to the perfectly nice druids, they were pointed in the direction of the Tree of Vision, which had given them the help they need, and were also told that just a year ago, a pair of druids named Brightwood had travelled through this same village and had headed towards this tree. Inside of the tree, they were met with 6 doors bearing druid phrases, and a large door with 6 locks, including a room which confronted them on their biggest sins. Oh, and Hendley is now a micropeen, Julian has to pee even worse than before, and Balak has a rather fetching tail.
We did the whole side of the room.
You should have the room blank of the one true key and the room with no
name. Let's try
the room, no name.
The room with no name.
Let's go for it.
I just want to put this out there. I'm going to be really pissed if we go in the room with the one true key and it's like, you only ever needed this key to get into the door.
Oh.
I'm not that bad.
It's too late anyway. We did all the other rooms already. Let's do the room with the no name.
Okay. So who's walking up?
Julian walks to the door.
Okay. So he opens the door and you enter a room, and in front of you is an ornate blacksmith's workbench.
All right, Redfield walks up to the workbench and has a look, a roll investigation check.
Yep.
16.
Okay, so he looks down and carved into the blacksmith's workbench is a mold in the shape of a key. And by the mold is a chute running to the table into the mold from what appears to be a furnace.
Threadfield walks over to the furnace and takes a look at that.
It's cold to the touch.
Does it have any heat to it? Is there anything going on there?
Stone cold. I look around the furnace, see if there's like a place to open it up and put in fuel.
Yes, there is. There's just basically, when you open the little hatch, there's what looks like, bits of stick and twigs that have burnt up and some coals, but looks like they're practically dusty. It's been left alone for so long.
Do we see a cauldron? Do we see the metal that could create the key?
There is an empty cauldron above the furnace.
Empty. No ore, no metal.
Nothing inside it.
Nothing.
All right, so, nothing. Let's, look around the room a little bit more, the whole room. Just gonna kind of walk the room looking for any clues. You want me to roll a separate investigation?
Yeah, so everyone roll an investigation check and let's see who can see what.
17.
Plus your intelligence.
Or I think that is.
Yeah, let me see your sheet, Bob, because I don't know if you're proficient. No, I just want to. Yeah, it's plus 9. Bob.
Plus 9, okay.
6. Oh, okay. 19.
4.
Thought that was good, but...
All right, so you're basically all wandering around the room and you check every nook and cranny in this room. High and low, look up, you look down, and really there's nothing more than what you can see. It's just, it's the same as the other rooms. It's just, it's the inside of a tree, so it's wooden. It's a little humid, a little damp, and there's the workbench, the furnace, the chute that runs to the mold, and that's really all there is in this room.
Henley?
Yes?
Didn't you receive a tremendous amount of gold pieces recently?
I'm not sure what you heard. I got 10 gold pieces from that judge.
Yes, except your pockets are bulging, and it's not from your micropeen. So I think it's the gold pieces. So I think we could melt some of those down into a key using this equipment.
No, my gold, no! I want it to go.
We don't need all of them.
I don't want it to go.
We need all of it.
I'm going to need you two to roll, all three of you to roll a strength check against Hendley, because Hendley is not giving up this gold without a fight.
That's a 20.
Yeah, so all three of you pounce on Hendley and attempt to extricate the gold from his pockets.
And
5. I've got nothing anyway on that.
I rolled a 10.
18.
Okay, Justin, what'd you roll?
18.
Okay, so Hendley managed to successfully fling Julian aside, but Redfield and Balak pin him down. Balak sits on his chest with his knees on his arms, whilst Redfield raids his pockets, and they take all of the gold.
No! I got plans for that one. No! Oh, come on. It's me arm. Oh, ah. I was bloody. Nah.
And we take all the gold and we pour it into the cauldron.
Can we just have some Hendley screams?
Yes, we need some screams.
Yes, we need some.
That's fine. That's fine. But, I'm pretty sure you had 1,800 gold pieces.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
That's what? Not as much fun.
I'd say
it?
That's not the issue. Yeah, Julian said you have gold.
It's just metal. It's just metal. It doesn't matter, really.
Then maybe you should stop. Maybe you should stop. Maybe you should stop meddling.
And Redfield punches Henley in the face.
And if unarmed attack.
Unarmed attack. His armor class is very low.
Yes, an unarmed attack. I'm going to make, Henley, you're going to take 1d4 damage because your armor class is 10 points lower right now.
Okay.
So you take 3 points of damage because Redfield punched in the nose.
Redfield, how high is the cauldron?
It's a little too high for you to reach. Literally a low. Yeah.
We have a bag of gold pieces.
Yeah, yeah.
We walk up to the cauldron. We
so Julian dumps
them in.
All this gold in the cauldron.
Flamey hands and thing.
And Balak takes out like
5 or 6 gold pieces and throws it in too.
Oh, I like
that's all I got.
He's like a little druid socialist. I love it.
I have no more gold left. Or I would definitely put some in to the cauldron for the whole magic key making business.
Really? No one's going to call Redfield on his ship right
gonna
now?
We're going to need more fuel in this fire.
I don't want to get punched again.
Okay.
Yes,
well, Balak can...
Yeah, there's not actually anything... You can throw flaming hands as much as you like, but there's nothing to burn. It's just like old ash.
Redfield goes running out of the room. So you guys can keep going what you're doing.
So Julian is still tipping this gold in and trying to set fire to something that isn't there.
And were you going to do something, Dustin?
Oh, I was just joking around about rolling an insight check to see if he realized Redfield might be lying or something, but I rolled a 9, so it didn't really matter.
So he just looks at Redfield and is like, no, I guess he's being honest.
On brand for your character. Redfield comes back into the room with a huge pile of sticks and brush and what looks like maybe like part of the shambler in this.
There's a couple of fingernails and claws hanging out. Yeah.
And he tosses them into the furnace.
Okay. So now there is there's fuel in there, so
flaming hands and we just
So the furnace is now cranking into action. It's heating up and, you know, take a minute. Talk amongst yourselves, because gold does not melt instantly. No? Nothing to say
How
to
you
each
doing?
Other?
How are you doing, Henley? You're okay with this, right? It'll be okay. At the end of the day, you'll end up with all this gold back again. You've lost it how many times already and gotten it back. You're a resourceful fellow.
I'm not talking to you anymore. Gold does melt immediately in Game of Thrones Season 1, Episode 6, though.
It does. It does, yes.
With just a fire.
So the gold, I'm going to, you know, you're going to stand there for a little while, but now the gold is melted. So if one of you wants to pull down that handle. So Julian pulls the handle, and the gold proceeds to pour down the chute into the mold for the key.
Goodbye, old friends.
Now, it's a fairly small key, and you put 1,000 pieces of gold in there. So the vast, vast majority of it simply pours over the edge of the mold and disappears down the drains on either side of the thing.
But the small, you know,
the key is really solid.
Yeah, the 10 to 12 coins that it needed to make a key settle into the shape of the key. And after a little while, it starts to cool a little, but it's still liquid right now.
It's cold. Well, I do, but I just went. Can I go again?
There's no turns now.
Okay, Ray of Frost.
Okay, so you cast Ray of Frost, and you instantly freeze the coin and set the coin. You instantly freeze the key, and it appears to be solid. So, yes, Julian lifts it out of the mold. And you have your next key.
I bet you that's not how you thought that was going to go.
It was very good. Actually, I thought of it. 2 seconds. I was trying to think of a way that you could source metal out of this room. And then I thought, oh, well, they should just use gold out of their backpacks. But I hadn't thought about
stealing.
The fact that Brian... Yeah, I hadn't thought about the fact that Henry had all this gold. That I hadn't thought about at all.
We go to the lock. We try the new key and...
So Julian puts the key in the lock and the lock... turns to dust and drops down into nothing, and there is just one lock remaining.
What happens to the
six?
Key?
Also turns to dust. It's
I was going to give you that back. Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's a very good point. You didn't care up until the point it was made out of Hendley's gold, right? Yeah.
No.
Sorry, friend.
The references will never stop. Me making you guys taking the gold from me is like. Oda Mae Brown not wanting to give the check up in Ghost.
Oh, yes, exactly. Yes.
Somebody does.
All right.
You know, Brian, I've been putting those at the end of episodes sometimes when you make a comment.
Oh, good.
I put them as little secret songs once in a while.
That's why I'm keeping them coming.
Nice. I did hear the one where he's like, "I'm sitting in my car recording this." That's a good one.
Okay, so Room of the One True Key.
Okay, who's going in?
And Henley puts his finger on his nose.
Does that mean you want to do it or you don't want to do it?
I'm not sure.
So who's opening this door?
All right.
Let's go. I'll try it again.
All right, so Julian just confidently walks up to the door, turns the handle and walks in, and you all follow, and you see a big table, and it is filled with keys. Big keys, small keys,
plain
keys, ornate keys, heavy, light, all kinds of keys.
Alicia Keys.
Yes, Alicia Sorry. Keys is perched on the end.
Amy and piano. John!
Good one, Brian.
Thank you.
I now in my head, I just see Alicia Keys, but I don't. But also she's not. She's tiny Alicia Keys.
Right, yes, right, yeah.
High-pitched version of Fallen.
Yes.
Concrete jungle, wet dream tomato.
Obviously, we have to choose.
How many keys are we looking at here?
Hundreds.
But choose wisely.
Oh, yes.
I really don't want to choose poorly.
Let's just say this reference is extremely on the nose.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, I figured.
All right. I'll pick it up with your foot down. Do you happen to have a key that's made out of human turd?
I'd say roll an investigation check and see which one smells funky.
All right, I'm rolling a check right now, and I have rolled a 14 plus a 7 is 21.
Okay, so when you look and think closely, you realize that all of these keys here are maybe not all here.
Okay, that sounds very confusing and on purpose.
There is no spoon.
so we're missing some keys.
Or are you saying that there appears to be keys there, but maybe they're not really there, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, yes. So other way around, Brian.
All right, so... Well, shit.
What do you see, Henley?
I can't see out there.
Okay.
I'm the worst.
Accurate.
I mean, it's just hundreds of keys on a table, right?
Right, but you're,
yes.
She's saying that you see that, like, some
you
of those
see,
keys...
Yeah, you are seeing and realizing and getting a sense of the fact that those keys maybe are not actually there.
All right, so can I just go up and start touching them?
Yep.
And I'm gonna try and pick up
all of them. He can touch.
Yep, they feel real. You can pick them up. You can hold them. But there's hundreds of these keys.
Right, but are they watching me do this?
Yeah, I mean, Redfield's doing his normal thing. He's at the back of the room, smoking his pipe, seeing what happens before he gets in there.
But like if. So we all see that those keys are there.
Yep. Well, you all see
a table. We all perceive keys. Yes.
Yes. You all see a table with keys on it, and you can feel the keys.
So they have... Henley.
Yeah.
Do they have weight? Can you feel them? Can you touch all these keys?
I mean, I've been drawing it, and so far so good.
Pick them all up?
I mean, that's what I'm doing, right? I'm
Yeah, you're picking them up, you're handling them, you can feel them. Yeah. But, you know, again, there's hundreds of keys. There's no way of really, you know, you can't just like, oh, let me try this one.
Yeah, you're right. No, absolutely. Let's see.
Do they all look exactly the same?
No, they're all very, very different. But again, the sheer volume of them means, and the fact that you don't have any of the previous keys to compare it to, would still make it too difficult to do it by a process of elimination.
All right, so I don't often do things like this. I've kind of left this left behind, but... And Red reaches his bag and takes out what looks like a very old, ornate, almost holy book. And I'm going to commune, which means I can ask three yes or no questions to a deity or divine proxy, receive correct answer or unclear short answer.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so you can't lie.
Okay.
But you don't have to be like...
I can be cryptic in my
answer.
You can
be cryptic.
Yeah. Yes. But it's a yes or a no?
The question has to... I have to answer like a yes or no, ask you a question.
Okay.
You can answer however you want.
Okay.
But, okay.
Okay.
But you have to answer.
You have to answer.
And can't lie.
Can't lie. So Redfield sits on the ground, opens his book, and begins to kind of... It takes a minute to do this, so you guys can go ahead and do some stuff for a minute.
All right.
But I'm gonna sit down and do my thing, and in a minute I'll do this. So it's reciting like a mantra over and over again.
Okay, so what else are you guys doing whilst Redfield is sitting in the corner? Because I'm assuming that he sits in the corner so much, you guys might not even have noticed that this is what he's doing.
He's behind us.
Yeah.
I'm mourning my gold.
As you should. Henley, they all had physical properties. Could touch them and they had heft and...
Yeah, that was wrong. I know.
Balak just walks up and he just starts like looking through the keys, seeing if there's any that seem interesting to him at all, but...
Balak, are you up for something?
He's shuffling through the keys.
I think I can help you with this.
Yeah? What are you thinking?
Yeah. It is called True Seeing. One action, touch. The spell gives the willing creature you touch the ability to see things as they actually are. For the duration, the creature has true sight, notices a secret door is hidden by magic, can see into the ethereal plane, blah, 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 all out to a range of 120 feet.
Okay, so Julian reaches out touches Balak. Where?
On the shoulder. Nicely
okay,
on the
just
shoulder.
Checking.
Yeah,
true. Reaches out and touches him, and... Balak, at this point, your eyes go white, completely white, and you turn around, you look at the table, and the other three guys are still looking at this table full of keys, but you are looking at a table with just one key on it.
I don't know what you just did, Julian, but I think I have the key. And he walks up to try to grab it.
Nice.
Okay, he grabs it, and that's the key.
And he runs. That's not fair.
Runs out the room, almost knocks a communing Redfield off of his perch.
I'll just kind of like walk out and kind of usher everyone to follow me, and here goes nothing.
The lock turns to dust, the key turns to dust, they fall in your hand, and that's it. There's no more locks on the door, and the door starts to creak, and the room starts to shake. And both the doors open towards you, and there is a bright, bright light.
I did this whole thing. I'm going to talk to the... Okay?
Yes, do it anyway.
Right. Yeah.
So I got some questions. Oh, holy one. One question, really.
Okay.
Do I make it out of this alive?
No.
All right, let's just do the counting thing. Me, then Justin, then Brian. All right, one.
All right.
Two.
Three.
Four.
Five.
Six.
Seven. Okay, good. All right.
Great.
Can you turn me down a little bit? It suddenly got
loud. Oh, suddenly somebody's headphones are too loud.
Suddenly. Oh,
that's better,
It's too quiet in my headphones.
Being an engineer is great, isn't it, Bobby? Yeah.
Oh, now it's too loud.
Okay.
All right.
So, are we ready?
Yep. Let's do it.
All right. So, time for a little recap.
$4 million. Oh, my God. What am I going to do with this money? I'm going to buy the building. No, wait. I'm going to buy the block. I'm going to make my sister go to a fat farm because, you know, she's way too big.
Whoa, wait. Farm, what are you going to do?
And then I'm going to buy the building.
Wait. Hold on, mate. I've got an idea. Take the check out of your purse.
Anything. Oh, you're right. I should take it out. I should put it where nobody can get it.
No. Endorse it.
No, if I endorse it, then if I drop it, somebody will get it. No, I just...
It's not your money. I never said you were going to get the money. This is blood money. I was killed for this money. Now endorse the check.
I don't... Well, Sam, what are you going to do with it?
Look over there. To your left.
I know you don't think I'm giving this $4 million to a bunch of nuns.